Now, more than ever, PPE, or personal protective equipment, is playing a vital role in protecting our frontline staff in the fight against the spread of COVID-19. We have seen on the news millions of euros worth of deliveries arriving in from China to be delivered to staff in our hospitals. One man here in Youghal has set out to ensure that local healthcare workers do not go without and has set up a fundraising campaign to purchase and deliver vital PPE to these workers. He joins me now on the line. And Joe O'Connell, good morning to you.
Good morning, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. Now, tell us, why did you decide to do this in the first place?
To be honest with you, Linda, as most of us are doing, I was sitting at home. As I said, doing nothing all day long between the garden and whatever you're doing in the house. I just got it in my head. I said, look, let's try do a fundraiser. I said, I'll see if I can contact the HSE as regards the idea and see what they thought of it. And I got basically emails back from a man by the name of Eamon Lally, who is the head of purchasing of PPE for the HSE, and he basically told me, look, it's a great initiative, go ahead with it and keep in touch. Now, he was, shortly after that, he put one of his colleagues in contact with me, who basically, we had a 20-minute conversation with about basic locations where I can get PPE that is approved by the HSE. Now, I had to make a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails, and slowly they started coming back, and I was able to get access to minimal amounts of PPE. And so basically from that, I started the fundraiser. So the initial fundraiser raised, I think, it was €1,481 over 5 days. Now, the majority of that has been spent on PPE. It's been purchased and donated to a local hospital already. The second fundraiser is currently at around €480, with a goal, I think, of 600. So, forgive my maths, but at the moment, I think we're around the €1,800 mark. So far out of that, there's about 1,300 to 1,400 euros of PPE after being bought. I'm actually just waiting on the delivery of PPE today, which will be going to the Cottage Hospital. And as I say, the first initial order of PPE, which was around the area of 1,200 euros, that has already been donated to the local hospital. Now, what I'm basically getting is, there are different types of masks. An FFP3 mask is what the doctors and the nurses and the surgeons are wearing, working directly with a confirmed COVID-19 patient. You cannot buy these, and don't attempt to, because they need these. You can get what's called an FFP2. The thing with an FFP2 mask is it's an N95 mask. It stops 95% of particles transferring through the mask. It's not a very, very tight fitting mask, but it's tight enough. You have an FFP1 then, which is what you'll see a lot of people walking around town with. They're the blue masks. They'll stop people transferring infection if they have the virus. There's a lot of us walking around and we don't know if we have the virus. It's a good thing. These things are reusable. They're what basically people, if they're worried about transferring virus to somebody, the elderly, if they're out shopping, they're perfect. They're loose-fitting, but the thing is, if you cough, there's nothing going to come out through it.
But are these masks then, Joe, the ones that we see a lot of people walking around town with, are these masks then suitable for, let's say, the local healthcare workers who might be travelling from house to house visiting patients or might be working in the Cottage Hospital or in St. Raphael's? Are those type of masks suitable for those healthcare workers? Are they just for the public to stop them transmitting the disease?
Well, the FFP2 mask, basically, it's 95% particles. It stops 95% of particles from passing through the mask, based on 0.3 microns. Now, I know that make no difference to anybody, but an FF2 mask is basically what the likes of people in St. Raphael's hospitals and so on would most likely be wearing. It's only an FFP3 mask is used when you're working directly with a COVID-19 patient. And I'd say a lot of people are seeing on Facebook pictures of nurses and healthcare providers with actual bruises on their face, because those masks have to be worn so tight. So, you know, the likes of the local care homes and stuff, they don't need them. If there is a confirmed case comes up, they'll know when the person is tested. The HSE will kick in very fast in that situation. Like, but what I'm doing is the type of masks I'm providing, I get my hands on. They're FF2 or FF1. What they'll do is basically they're a disposable mask. It'll allow a healthcare worker. For instance, we have home healthcare workers. I know in Yall, I think there's about 14 or 15 of them. They could call 3 or 4 clients a day. They need to change a mask every time they go into a client. Now, it's not a case of them catching something from the client. If they have this mask on, they're not going to pass anything to the client if they have virus. The FF2 mask will stop, as I said, 95%. The FF3 is 97%. So, like, the type of mask you see people walking around town wearing and going into shops with, look, as far as I'm concerned, it's sensible. I wear it when I go shopping. It's just, if I had the virus, it stops me transmitting by breathing. That's as simple as it is. But at the same time, what I have been donating to I've been making phone calls basically to all the local care homes, asking them basically, is there anything they need? Now, the initial donation I made to St. Raphael's, that covered 200 FFP2 masks.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you, Joe, as well, because there was 1,400 and odd raised for that. I mean, how much equipment does that type of money actually buy?
An FFP2 mask, there was 200 of them bought in that initial order, and they came to around €800 for 200 masks. Now, on top of that, there are the consumables, which are a lot cheaper, like the nitrile gloves, hand sanitizer, disinfectant wipes, wiping down counters, safety glasses, goggles, use things like that. All of those things I've also provided. As I say, I was speaking to another local hospital yesterday, and what they asked me if I could get my hands on was basically the anti-fog goggles, because that's what they're in short supply of. But what I'm basically saying, I'm contacting them all, asking them, is there anything they're in short supply of? Now, a lot of them are HSE-backed, so they have PPE, but they don't essentially have a large amount of it. So that's why this fundraiser is local. As I say, after speaking to Eamon Lally and his colleague, it was his colleague turned around to me and he suggested, look, Joe, he said, the majority of PPE coming into the country, said it's going to the hospitals, the larger hospitals where we're treating these cases. So he said, any funds raised, he said, basically, look, we put you in contact with suppliers that we've used and approve, and if you can get anything off of them, he said, get it off them. He said, it's a great incentive, and he said, basically, supply it to your local care homes, your local hospitals, etc. Because the simple thing is, he says, prevention is better than the cure. He said, the majority of cases that we see coming to these hospitals that need to go on ventilators or that need care by oxygen, they're the older people in our society, and those people are coming from care homes.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people listening to this, we see, as I mentioned earlier in the intro, you see millions upon millions of euros of PPE coming into this country. We see Aer Lingus planes bring them in and stuff like that. And you therefore then assume that they will be distributed and that there will be enough for everybody. It doesn't always dawn on people that, yes, most people are getting this, but they mightn't necessarily be getting the amounts that they need.
Exactly. As I said, they're like the home care workers. And my own mother was one for 13 years. She could have 3 to 4 clients a day. Basically, if they're using the standard FFP1 mask or FFP2 mask, like, they need to change that mask for every client. There's no use going into the first client with this mask on and coming out of there, going to the next client wearing the same mask. Because, as I say, if there is anything picked up on your hands and the hands are forgotten, have been forgotten to be sterilized or washed and the mask is touched, it can be carried basically to the next person. That's my understanding of it. So the way I look at it, the likes of those guys should be, if they have 3 clients, they could go through 15 masks a day. Now, as I say, I can get my hands on a supply of these FFP1 and 2 masks. And that's why this fundraiser is running. But as I say, I'm also providing them anything they want, whether it be aprons, as I say, the goggles, the safety glasses, anything that makes them feel safe about going to work and then after that, going home to their own family. That's as simple as it is.
How long do you reckon, Joe, you'll be able to continue to get this? I mean, is the supply getting harder and harder to get?
It is getting harder and harder to get, to be honest with you. It's normally every 2 weeks there's I'll get a call or an email to say that there's a supply of the FFP2 masks. Those are the ones that stop 95% of particles through flow transfer. They are very hard to get. It's as simple as it is, and they're expensive. As I say, 200 of them costs, as I say, the best part of €800. The FFP1s, they're cheaper. You can get a packet of 50 of them for around €75, and that's including the VAT. It's a packet of 50. You go through them quick because they're disposable, but I have these on back order with companies. So as the funds are slowly transferred, because the thing with the likes of the Facebook fundraisers and so on is when somebody makes a donation, it can take 6 days after that donation is made before any of the funds are transferred so I can actually use them. So as of yesterday, like, as I say, it comes through in dribs and drabs. So as I say, yesterday I was speaking with one of the local hospitals and they said what they need was the goggles. So I said, look, I get you what I can with what funds I have available as they come in. There was a donation came through yesterday that was cleared for around €153. So basically, I contacted the supplier straight away and ordered 30 of the anti-fog goggles for that hospital. And just before I came on radio to you, I just got an email that said that they're going to deliver to me tonight. So that hospital will have them in the morning. I know for a fact there are people in the town that are having to travel up for dialysis 3 times a week. Now they get one mask to last them for 2 trips. Basically, that's fine. You see, these are 5 people from different families that are set into the one care. Now, it's just the way it is. Like I say, everything is hard at the moment. The HSC can't afford to put these people into care individually and get them to the hospital. They have to care share. And as I say, they do get provided with masks, but they get provided with a mask at the hospital. That mask is used for the spin home, and when they come back up the next day again, they have to use that same mask to go back up again. So my understanding there would be that would be an FFP2 mask, which I have been myself using, and I reuse. So they get replaced every time they go to the hospital. But as I say, the care sharing. So basically what I've done in that situation is I've put in an order for basically hand sanitizing gel so they can keep their hands clean. They do get provided with masks, but at the same time, if I get a phone call and they're worried that, you know, the one mask isn't good enough for them, if I have them,
Well, the big thing now is, isn't it, to let's get the funds in. So everyone that's listening here today, as you heard Joe say there, he's sourcing this equipment from HSE approved suppliers. You have made contact with the HSE and they have put you in contact with the correct suppliers, and that's key in all of this. Everything that you are getting is being given out to the locality. It's been given out to the town of Youghal and surround. So every single piece of equipment that you are getting is going specifically to our healthcare workers based here in this town and in this region. And we better actually also mention as well, because I know unfortunately we have seen in the news of late and stuff like that, all these various different scams and all this different equipment and everything. Everything that you do is completely transparent. I have seen your Facebook page. So you've pictures of the stuff as it arrives. You've pictures of the invoices. You have pictures of receipts. Everything is completely transparent from start to finish, isn't it?
It is a lot. Yeah, anytime PPE arrives, I'll take a picture of it. I'll update the page. I'll update the invoice, and at the same time as that, when I deliver the PPE to wherever it's going, I leave the original invoice with the PPE. Everything is transparent. There's nothing hidden there, Linda. As I say, every penny that is donated is used to buy PPE. Now, if there's a time comes when the PPE is no longer available, and these restrictions are lifted and life starts to get back to normal, and there's an amount of money still left in the fundraising account, basically at that stage, then it's a case of having the word with yourself again, getting in contact with the local public and asking them where they'd like the balance of the donation to be donated, whether it be, I don't know, Simon Community, anywhere like that. But as I say, at the moment, while I can get the PPE, that's what I'm doing. I'm buying the PPE with the funds that have been raised, and I'm basically I'm contacting all the care homes and the local hospitals. And as I say, after the first fundraiser, the reason the second fundraiser started, I was doing this once, but it's just after the first fundraiser had ended, I got a few messages from people asking, could I get this, could I get that, because they knew of people who were going to work who weren't wearing the proper protection because they didn't have it. And it's not that the HSE aren't providing it. And as I say, there is a short supply of certain types of PPE. But in our own small way, we can help protect our local healthcare workers, because there is a supply of the FFP2 and FFP1 masks, and these will stop people from transferring the virus.
Which is ultimately good for all of us, isn't it, Joe? I mean,
it is.
Everyone benefits from that.
It is, Linda. Linda, the main thing I've learned through all of this is, wash the hands regularly, sanitize them, basically keep your 6 feet apart if you can, and if it makes you feel comfortable going out shopping, whatever, wear your gloves, sanitize the gloves, and the gloves are, the main thing is washing the hands. People seem to think that if you put on a pair of gloves you're protected for the day. You're not. The virus can transfer to the gloves as quick as it'll transfer to your hands. So, what I would suggest to people is, look, if wearing gloves makes you feel comfortable, sanitize the gloves every time you go to a shop. Just don't think that you can go into one shop with these gloves on, go around, do your shopping, using the gloves to touch counters, blah, blah, go to the next shop to get the next thing that, you couldn't get in the first shop, and use the same gloves. Because if the virus was transferred to the glove in the first shop, and you haven't changed the gloves, or sanitize the gloves, you're carrying it on the gloves just as quick as you are on your hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's cross contamination. It's what spreads this, is cross contamination, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And during the week I'll have a supply of masks coming in, and even if there's elderly people out there in the locality that are afraid to go into a shop because of transferring it or catching it or anything like that, as I say, look, if they want to contact me. If I have a supply of them, I'll drop them off to them.
Brilliant. For anyone who's listening to this, Joe, and they want to donate, how do they go about donating?
Well, as I say, the Facebook fundraiser, I set a goal on the second one of 600 euros because I wanted to get in around 1,200 masks there for our local home care workers. I've them on back order. That's a 100 euro short goal. Once that's hit that goal, I'm closing that. As of last night, I've opened up a GoFundMe page. I'll send a link of that on to you, Linda. I've also sent it on to one or two of the buddies who have started to share it, and I'll be sharing it on Facebook.
Yeah, and I'll get that up on, and indeed, if you're listening to this interview on Facebook, it will be in the link just above this interview. And if you're not listening to this on Facebook, if you're listening to it on the radio itself, just give us a shout here on 024-911-99 and I'll point you in the right direction for that link. Joe, it's amazing what you're doing, and I know you're doing it because it's in you to do it. It's an absolute, I'm saying this about this COVID-19, for all the mayhem and the stress and the worry and the sadness it has brought so much good and positivity with it. And I mean, the community spirit is as good as I've ever seen it. And it's down to people like yourself who decide, you know what, instead of sitting at home, I'll see if I can make a difference. And you are making a difference, Joe. And I thank you on behalf of all the people in y'all for what you are doing. You're doing amazing work. Stay in touch with us. We'd like to keep in contact with regards to updates on this. And if you need to get any information or anything like that, you have our number. Give us a shout and we will get that out. Joe, I'm going to leave it there. Well done to you again. And thanks for a million for coming on to me.
Can I just say to all those that have donated so far, I just want to say thank you so much. And as I say, I've been in, like, the first load that's already been donated, they've contacted me and they want to express to everybody how grateful they are for the PPE that they have received. And just to leave it on a note, would you believe it, Linda? I woke up this morning knowing I'm going to do a radio interview and I'm actually putting on my best shirt.
Joe, I've never seen you in a good shirt before, love.
Yeah, but it's the worst part for it, isn't it? It's a radio interview. It's not as if I'm sitting in the studio with you doing a recording.
Oh, we'll have to get you into studio and all this is gone and we'll take a picture of you in the good shirt, Joe.
All right, listen, I really appreciate your time, Linda, and thanks very much. And as I say, once again, thanks to everybody that's donated. It means an awful lot.
Not